Well, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is expressing sadness over the attack today that killed veteran Associated Press photographer Anya Niedringhaus and wounded longtime reporter Kathy Gannon. We'll link you to their terrific work. The two women were sitting in their car in a convoy in eastern Afghanistan when an Afghan policeman charged with protecting them walked up and shot them. A witness says he then surrendered and was arrested. The attack comes on the eve of presidential elections in Afghanistan, which start tomorrow. Anya's fellow journalists won't have much time to grieve because they'll be covering it. We spoke with NPR's Sean Corbery before the deadly violence and asked for a sketch of the candidates he and others will be watching.
At this point, it's really narrowed down to three candidates in the eyes of analysts and officials here. You have Abdullah Abdullah, who was the runner-up in the 2009 election. He's the leading opposition politician in the country, has been a harsh critic of President Karzai for years. The other candidate who ran in 2009 is Ashraf Ghani, who is a former World Bank official. He was a professor at Johns Hopkins. He has a PhD from Columbia, a highly Western-educated person who's considered the technocrat candidate. And then you have Zalmay Rasool, who was most recently the foreign minister, very mild-mannered gentleman who, as of last fall, was saying he was planning on retiring and playing golf. And he was ultimately convinced, apparently, by President Hamid Karzai to run. He's viewed as the candidate who is favored by Karzai, who would be most favorable to Karzai's future interests in the country.
Well, and meaning what? Just to pick up on that, what would that mean?
Well, he's considered by many people the Medvedev candidate for Karzai, someone who will be kind of a figurehead but allow President Karzai to continue to have strong interest over the country after he steps down officially.
You refer to Medvedev, the Russian who was thought to be the person who just was a placeholder for Vladimir Putin, who really wanted to return to office. But pick up also on another candidate, Ashraf Ghani. You mentioned the former professor at Johns Hopkins. He has a running mate who even he described as a killer, the warlord General Dostum. That seems like a fascinating combination there.
It really is the odd couple of this campaign. Again, in 2009, as you mentioned, Ghani referred to Dostum as a known killer. And Dostum was a general who emerged back in the era when the Afghans were fighting the Soviets. He was actually fighting for the Soviet-backed communist government against the Afghan opposition that was supported by the U.S. and Pakistan. He later essentially switched sides and joined up with some of those Mujahideen commanders during the Civil War. They then fought together to fight the Taliban. He's been accused of all kinds of human rights abuses and gross crimes as a warlord in general. And so it came as a shock to people, frankly, that Ghani chose Dostum, someone that, again, he had criticized. And it really is viewed as a case of political expediency because Dostum is an ethnic Uzbek and he has tremendous support in the Uzbek community and is viewed as someone who can deliver a huge number of votes from that community, something that Ghani would not have been able to do on his own. So, again, a politically expedient move to pick someone who can bring more votes to his ticket.
In fact, you spoke to a man named Mohammed Sharif, a pelt trader, who does view Dostum as the patron saint of Afghanistan's minority Uzbek community. Here's a little of what he said.
We've had many achievements since he fought off the Taliban. He granted us freedom and has built many schools, clinics, and mosques.
So with that kind of coupling for, as you said, political expediency, are you seeing other candidates trying to do the same thing?
Well, essentially all of them did something along those lines when they formed their tickets last fall. All the candidates are ethnically Pashtun, which is the majority ethnic sect here in the country, although Abdullah Abdullah is half Pashtun, half Tajik, which creates its own complications for him. But the Pashtun candidates then selected vice presidential candidates from other ethnic groups to try to broaden their appeal.
And how will the actual election take place? Do we remember the first, what were considered to be the first democratic elections, with people getting a dab of ink on their hands if they had voted, purple ink, I think it was. But what's the process now? Do they go into a booth? What happens?
Yeah, the process is roughly the same as it's been here, which is a fairly standard practice. You have polling centers with basically booths or stations at each place, where people go and vote. They're supposed to show their registration card, and they still do some type of an ink stamp on a finger afterwards to prevent people from trying to vote multiple times, which is, you know, one of the major concerns here, because past elections have been riddled with fraud, and certainly the expectation is that that will be the same this time.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So given that, if there's concerns that there might be fraud, again, are people excited about this vote? Do they think that there's an opportunity for change? You mentioned one of the candidates was kind of seen as I don't know if you mean the word puppet, but somebody who would enact President Karzai's agenda. Do they think there's going to be a difference?
When you talk to people, you hear some sort of paradoxical statements. They say they're excited about voting. They think it's important. And especially in the face of all the recent violence that's been going on, they feel it's even more important to vote to defy the Taliban, to say we don't want this anymore. But no one here really believes there's going to be any type of wholesale change in the structure here. And honestly, a lot of analysts say that the system couldn't handle that much change, that it needs evolution, not revolution.
NPR Sean Carberry in Kabul ahead of Saturday's elections, presidential elections there. Sean, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Robin.